In this chapter, we're going to cover valuable skills and some very valuable gear that will be very useful in a low-tech society. The reason we need skills, of course, is because we need to have some kind of contribution to society in order to get paid so that we can exchange goods and services with each other and not all die from starvation, basically. So we're all specialists. We're all good at one thing or another. And the skills that will be useful in a post-collapse environment are very different from the skills that are obviously useful in a high-tech world, obviously. So, for example, right now, you could be a rocket scientist, an actual scientist working on navigation systems for telemetry and rockets and so on, whereas in a post-collapse society, that's a useless skill, and you're going to need to do something different, like maybe be a blacksmith, for example, or whatever you're into. Animal husbandry, you know, maybe you're good at stitching saddles too, in addition to being a rocket scientist, you see. Or maybe you have other skills in mathematics and accounting and numbers, and you could maybe work for the community as an accountant or help set up a barter and trade system of some kind, right? So there's lots of different skills that you could have that you could apply in a collapsed society, but you're going to need something. Now, the most obvious skills that will be immediately applicable will be things that are based in the physical world. I mentioned blacksmithing, farming and food preparedness, food preservation, meat smoking, for example. There would be a very strong need for security personnel, and obviously a strong demand for people who can make things out of leather or repair leather. And this would include saddles and shoes and bags and purses and all kinds of things like that. Leather, of course, is going to be readily available because it comes from, well, cows and, you know, other animals. So that's going to be a material that will be part of the post-collapse society. You're going to see a lot of leather coming back. You're also going to see people specializing in things like repair and salvage and metallurgy, you know, melting or smelting metals and making new objects out of the molten metal. So that's a very valuable skill set to have, it turns out. You're also going to have a lot of people who are experts in firearms repair. Other people may be experts in simple electronics. You'll have people who are good at making knives and sharpening knives or making tools, such as garden tools, hoes and rakes and shovels and things like that. And there will be quite a large economy based on just the making and the repair of such tools, because obviously people are going to need that, right, in order to grow food. Speaking of food, there's going to be a lot of different experts in different types of food preservation, canning, drying, salting, pickling. I already mentioned smoking. I don't know what else there is out there that can be used in a low-tech environment. I don't know, sun drying, perhaps. But you will have people that specialize in just food preservation, but you're also going to have food preservation skills that will be distributed, that people will use themselves at home, kind of the way maybe your grandparents did canning and gardening themselves. So most people did, you know, a few generations ago. Now, medical skills, including first aid skills, are valuable in both a high-tech and a low-tech society, but of course the equipment that you have available to work with is very different in a low-tech collapsed world compared to a high-tech world. So if you are a doctor or a nurse or an emergency room physician of some kind, you're going to have to learn how to practice without a lot of the high-tech gear. You won't be able to just send a blood sample off for lab numbers, lab tests. You won't be able to use an MRI or a CAT scan or, you know, radioisotope imaging. You're going to have to go old school on medicine. You probably won't have a lot of prescription drugs that you used to have either. You may not even have clean scalpels for that matter, so you're going to have to learn to get by on a lot less, but nevertheless, medical skills will be very valuable. However, much of modern medicine, at least at the GP level, is based on doing nothing but prescribing pharmaceuticals to people. And that's going to change very quickly, very quickly. You're actually going to have to figure out what's causing people's problems instead of just masking them with prescription drugs. So think about the old country doctor that made home visits. That's kind of what we're going to be looking at, actually. and midwives and so on. So my advice is to take an inventory of your skill set right now. Think about what skills you have that might be marketable in this kind of collapsed scenario, or what skills you might want to learn that would be useful in that environment. You could also give yourself a leg up by having the right gear. And as you know, I've talked about having an old school sewing machine that you can actually hand crank. It was an old Singer sewing machine from the late 1950s that I recently bought. It's fully functional. It works. And you don't have to be a genius to learn how to sew the basics. I mean, obviously you can master it and be very, very good, but just to stitch some things together, if you don't really care how good it looks, it doesn't take a lot of training. But you need the sewing machine. So there are many things that you can acquire right now that can set you up in that line of work in a post-collapse society. For example, if you owned an old school printing press, you know, like a hand crank old, I don't know what they're even called, but the kind that would you just hand feed sheets of paper into it and you actually have to lay out the letters using the steel dies, and then you have to keep pouring ink into it, and you have to add the oil to all the gears and everything. Old school printing presses. You could be the local, you know, newspaper, which might have a lot of other advantages, by the way. You could have a sewing machine, like I said, and do clothing repair, or even have a heavy-duty sewing machine, and you could stitch up people's leather boots or saddles or so on. Or you could have a specialized shoemaking equipment, which is even heavier duty, to stitch up shoe soles and things like that, or rugged boots. Or you could maybe learn how to make shoes. Because actually, making shoes or making boots is a very difficult skill, by the way. That's way more difficult than learning how to use a sewing machine. But if you have a lot of hands-on skills, you want to learn how to make boots, you're going to have endless demand for your boots. No doubt about it. You'll have a year-long waiting list. You could charge almost anything you want. Are you good at repair? You know, engine repair, firearms, gunsmithing, anything like that? Well, those can be very valuable skills. Or are you good at teaching children? Or taking care of youngsters, for example? Obviously, that's a career as well, because adults are going to need schools for their children. They're going to need Sunday school, probably, because we'll be back into a society with a lot of faith again, for the survivors anyway, you know, because they will realize how important it is to bring God back into your life during all of this, since most of the collapse happened because America turned away from God. But that's a different story and a different chapter altogether. But going to need Sunday schools, going to need teachers, going to need people who are good with animals, people who know how to farm, people who know how to repair things, and people who know how to buy and sell and trade. Because there'll be a lot of bartering going on, a lot of open air markets. There's going to be a lot of commerce actually taking place, but it's going to be, you know, slower and more complex than what we're used to, because you're not going to be able to just go online and buy something off eBay. You're going to have to haul your goods to a local market and then hang out there in your little booth or your table and buy and sell and trade right there. So what are the skills you're going to need to be able to do that? Maybe bicycle repair as well. Or there might be somebody there who specializes in bicycle repair. And that's a great skill, because bicycles are going to be very, very popular in this coming world. Now, even in a collapsed world, you're still going to need attorneys and legal representation. There will be some kind of a legal system, some kind of a court system. So you're going to need people who are familiar with the law. So for those of you out there who are attorneys, don't worry. There's work for you too, probably. Although it wouldn't hurt to also be a gunsmith on the side or something like that, just in case. And by the way, there's also going to be quite a large economy just in transportation. A lot of goods are going to have to get moved. And given that we're dealing with a collapsed society, at least in this thought experiment, transporting goods is going to be more difficult than whatever we have imagined so far. You know, it's going to be maybe horse and carriage or bicycle. Or maybe a motor vehicle with a combustion engine, but that would attract a lot of attention. You'd have to have a lot of security people with you. Just depends on how bad the collapse gets, you see. But if you have, let's say, an electric vehicle, like an electric UTV or an all-electric side-by-side vehicle that can run fairly quietly and doesn't need gasoline, but yet has a range of 20 or 30 miles, you could have quite a business there just transporting goods or even transporting people in medical emergencies. You could be a little ambulance service and then also, you know, transporting food or whatever. Because people are going to need to move goods around. And that's going to include food crops and ammunition and raw materials and, you know, probably all kinds of products that people are manufacturing. We're going to see a return to a lot of manufacturing, of course. And so that's going to be a specialty all by itself, which is transportation. There's going to be an entire industry in high security transportation. You might even be delivering the mail or parcels, a little post-collapse UPS driver or something, right? But think about all the things that people are going to need. And there's going to be a service or a product to fill that need. Now let's talk about valuable fibers and commodities. Let's cover fibers first. So different types of fibers are going to have a lot of value in this post-collapse world. They're going to be much more expensive than they are today. Now, cotton, of course, will be one of the most common fibers because farmers will figure out pretty quickly how to grow and harvest cotton in a low-tech environment. It's going to be very labor-intensive, and it's going to be very, very expensive, but there will still be cotton available after a while. Although we're going to have to return to old textile technologies from the 19th century. It's going to be quite a shift. But at least we know in America, we can grow cotton. And even though it's a lot of work, we can pick cotton and we can use a cotton gin to get the seeds out of cotton. And we can make cotton fibers. And from that, we can make textiles and we can make clothing and things like that. Again, it's just going to be very complex. It's going to be very expensive compared to having everything automated. But cotton will be a very common fiber. The truth is, though, cotton's not a very good fiber. It's actually, it rates among the worst. Cotton doesn't have much in way of strength or insulative properties. And if you get it wet, it loses any ability to keep you warm. You know, unlike wool, for example, which maintains its insulative properties even when it's wet. So there will also be a market for other fibers such as wool or alpaca wool, or I don't know what else is out there, exotic synthetic fibers perhaps. I'm not sure if we're going to have, you know, rayon or other synthetic fibers, you know, all the fibers that are made from chemical processes right now, you know, from DuPont and other companies. I'm not sure that those are going to be around. They may just vanish completely and we'll be back to nothing but natural fibers. But there's cotton, there's hemp, there's wool, and then that's all I can think of at the moment. But you get the idea. And it's a good idea to stock up on different kinds of threads and cordage and fibers. For example, you can get sewing thread right now dirt cheap because it's often made in China or other countries. And you can stock up on thousands of feet of it for almost no money right now. In the future, if you had to come up with that stuff, it would be very expensive. And nylon, by the way, is a very strong stitching material or thread material that you can use for all kinds of things. You can even, you can stitch up a wound with nylon thread. In fact, I think some of the stitch material is made out of nylon. But you can use nylon thread for all kinds of things, from fixing, you know, saddles and leather and shoes to denim and canvas and things like that. So you might want to look into nylon thread or different poly synthetic threads. I don't know what all the different offerings are out there, but cotton thread is the weakest, and all the other synthetic threads are much better than cotton in terms of their resilience, it turns out. They're just not as soft. So cotton thread's good for its softness, but, you know, nylon is good for its durability. And by the way, think about how many pieces of clothing are made out of polyester or rayon or spandex or some combination of that. Even a pair of socks or a pair of underwear. It might be, I don't know, 60% cotton, or it might be like, 5% spandex, and, maybe 20% polyester or whatever. The polyester material is probably not going to be available in a post-collapse world or any of these exotic materials that I mentioned, not spandex either. So much for your dream of wearing spandex tight pants in a post-collapse society. It's not going to fly. You're going to end up wearing like leather boots and blue jeans because that's what's available. Just look at the fashion of the 19th century to get an idea of what you're going to be wearing. So threads and lines and cordage are all going to be valuable things to have. They're going to be worth a tremendous amount in terms of their barter potential. But don't barter them right away. Maybe you might want to hang on to them a little bit because the initial supply will dwindle quickly. But what's also going to have value will be, of course, seeds, ammunition, gunpowder, primers for ammo, farming tools and sewing tools, frankly, any kind of tools that do anything useful, bottles, even jars, anything that can hold, say, herbal medicines or tinctures or canned food, things like that, cooking gear, pressurized cookers. Optics are going to be very valuable, and right now you can buy optics for almost nothing. I mean, it's crazy. You can get a pair of binoculars on Amazon for $10. That's actually pretty decent compared to what it's going to cost you in the future, or they may not be available at all. Edged tools, of course, always going to be valuable, and they're going to be hard to come by because metallurgy will take a big hit in this society. Of course, gold and silver will be used as money and a store of value, barter items, and so on. And you're going to see a lot of silver being used in the marketplace. Silver coins, silver rounds, 1 ounce pieces of silver, what are they called? Kangaroos and Krugerrands and Britannicas, I think they are. U.S. mint coins, eagles, all kinds of different silver coins. You're going to learn what they are because people are going to be using them so commonly. Now, I want to talk about gear that is a game changer in a low-tech society. And this is not just about battle gear or anything like that. This is about specific pieces of equipment that you will likely never be able to get again, but they will be extremely valuable in a collapse scenario. For example, night vision. So a pair of night vision goggles or night vision binoculars, not the cheap ones that actually emit strong infrared light beams because that just announces your position. I'm talking about the high-end optical enhancement goggles. They typically cost $3,000 or more. Those are the ones that are going to be incredibly valuable. And understand that those night vision goggles, they only have a limited life. They only operate for a certain number of hours, and then those tubes that are built into them, those tubes stop working. They start to get artifacts, and they're not really usable. Shadows and burn-in and all kinds of different things. They're dark spots, they start going bad. So the most valuable optic is the optic that has not yet been used but is functional. And so you're going to start seeing night vision optics being traded as very valuable items, and thermal optics will also be extremely valuable. Let's see, flashlights, especially LED flashlights that work off of rechargeable batteries, will be very valuable, and those batteries themselves will also be valuable. Personally, I've standardized on the Phoenix brand, that's F-E-N-I-X, brand of the 18650 battery for all my flashlights and headlights, and I've even found radios that use those. And I've tested all the different brands of batteries. I probably mentioned this elsewhere. And none of the other brands of batteries are any good, from what I can tell, at least from what I've tested. Phoenix is the brand that works. And no, they haven't paid me to say that. I'm just sharing that with you because I went through the trouble to figure that out. It cost me like $1,000 in gear and batteries and testing. And I found out most batteries suck. But the Phoenix batteries work, and the battery you want is 18650. They're easy to recharge. They will last thousands of cycles, and they hold a lot of power. So if you have, you know, an LED flashlight that uses those batteries, that's kind of a god-level technology advantage in a low-tech or no-tech world. Especially if you have an infrared flashlight combined with night vision goggles, then you can see in the dark and other people can't. So I would also call that a, quote, god-level advantage in a collapsed society. And when I say god-level, I'm talking about like in a video game. Have you ever seen a character in a game that is given god powers where they're invincible? You know, they have unlimited hit points or all the top gear or whatever. That's what I'm talking about here. Being able to see in the dark is an unbelievable advantage. It will allow you to defend your perimeter and also, you know, if necessary, to move around at night without being seen. Okay, other examples of god-level gear would be, in my opinion, solar generators. You know, solar panels that are tied to charge controllers that charge some kind of lithium-ion battery, maybe lithium iron phosphate batteries, I think, are the best current chemistry that's widely available. That's LiFePO4, LiFePO4. Fe is iron and PO is phosphate, or phosphorus. So that's the lithium iron phosphate batteries. And you get some solar panels, a charge controller, and then you just need an inverter with that. And you can then charge your batteries and you can charge electronics and all kinds of things. And that is essentially what a solar generator is. A solar generator is just one box that combines those functions I just mentioned, a charge controller, a lithium ion battery, and then an inverter. There's a brand out there called Jackery, J-A-C-K-E-R-Y. And I think I own one of the Jackery products, and it seems like it was okay, but I haven't done a thorough analysis of the Jackery brand yet, although I intend to. But those are pretty commonly available. My advice would be to shop around and compare, but stay away from the cheap Chinese-made stuff, because I have tried a lot of the lower-end like power banks and generators from China, and a lot of them are garbage. A lot of them are really garbage. I've had a lot of failures on a lot of systems and wasted a lot of money on that. So I don't know. I wish somebody made a very reliable solar generator, but so far I haven't found the brand that I would recommend to everybody. Continuing in the category of god-level gear, two-way radios are game changers. Having prescription antibiotics is also a game changer. And then multi-fuel lanterns. Remember the light bright lantern that I talked about before? It's a strange spelling. I forgot the exact spelling of that. Light bright. But they make a multi-fuel brass lantern that I've used successfully with diesel. And just using diesel fuel alone, I have been able to have a very bright light source and also a heating source. And also, boiling water. It's got a little cook surface on top as well. You can buy that as an extra accessory. And it works. It absolutely works. So that way you can use, you know, lantern oil or kerosene or diesel fuel or alcohols or all kinds of other things. You can use almost any fuel that burns in a multi-fuel lantern like that. Now, of course, it's an expensive lantern. It's several hundred dollars. Whereas you can buy kind of a cheap, you know, paraffin wax lantern or like liquid lamp fuel lantern for $29 on Amazon. But it's not very bright. It's basically just a liquid candle is what that is. It's not the same as actually having a multi-fuel lantern. Two totally different things. By the way, I also say that solar-powered calculators are kind of god-level gear as well. They can be game changers in a barter situation or a commerce application. Having calculators is a big help. And right now, you can get a calculator at the dollar store for a dollar. I know because I just bought one there. In fact, I bought a scientific calculator for $1.25. I was just stunned. Like, this thing does all kinds of scientific math formulas and everything, and it's $1.25, including the battery. Normally, you couldn't buy the battery for $1.25. There's some real bargains at these dollar stores, by the way. You might want to check them out. There's some stuff there that's actually worth the dollar. Now, I could go on with a lot more examples of this, but you get the idea. There's certain types of gear that are just game changers in a collapse world. And some of this gear are things that you're just not going to be able to get again. So you want to buy this once and then just hold on to it and wait for the collapse. And then you'll have that gear available. I think night vision is key, by the way. And night vision has become very, very difficult to acquire. Thermal vision as well. In fact, I'm waiting on a thermal rifle scope that I ordered, I think, last Black Friday, which was end of November last year. Still waiting on it, and they keep changing the ship date. They keep pushing it out another 60 days. So now they're telling me it's going to be shipped to me sometime in the summer of 2022 here. And I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to be lucky to get this by Christmas. It's going to be a one-year wait. And by that time, the whole system may have collapsed. Who knows? So I realize this is very expensive gear, but it can be one of the best long-term investments that you could possibly make. You know, seeing in the dark is truly a game changer. Having a ballistic vest is a game changer. You know, for self-defense, obviously. You know, having a good red dot sight, having a ballistic calculator. Think about all the applications for self-defense and security and protecting your family or your community against, you know, attackers. This gear can, of course, save your life. Now, a note in all of this is that even the best gear isn't useful unless you know how to use it. So you need to practice with this equipment. You need to have the skills and not just the gear. And this is a common failing that a lot of people share, is they will buy the gear and then they'll put it in a box, put it on a shelf somewhere, and they'll never use it, or they won't become familiar with how to use it, or they won't acquire the batteries that they need to use it. And then the day that you try to pull it out and put it to use, then obviously you don't have the batteries for it. So it's critical to become familiar with this gear. Now, night vision goggles are especially important to learn how to use in advance, because you're going to have to learn how to focus them. There's a focus on the front and there's an eyepiece, ocular focus. You're going to have to adjust them so that they're resting on your head the right way. You're going to have to adjust the strap, you know, the head mount. You're going to have to adjust the distance between the eyes, the angle, all kinds of things. It's a very important thing to do all this in advance for obvious reasons. A lot of night vision gear also comes with an infrared illuminator. You need to know where that is without having to hunt for it, because obviously you're going to be wearing the goggles. So you need to know where it is by touch. So no matter what your gear, make sure you're very familiar with it as soon as possible. And finally, understand that picking the right career in a post-collapse economy goes hand in hand with having the right gear, obviously. So a lot of the gear decisions you make right now will strongly influence your career decisions or your career opportunities based on what happens after the collapse. So if you have night vision and you are being hired to conduct security, then you can charge more for that security because you have night vision. You might be twice as valuable as somebody who doesn't have night vision. So would that be a good investment if that's a career path for you down the road? Absolutely. It's really essential. Or if you plan to be involved in commerce and transactions or accounting, you might need a manual calculation machine, which you can buy on eBay, by the way. I've bought several of them. You might need a solar calculator. There's all kinds of low-tech things you can get that can help you do math and accounting more quickly. And they're very inexpensive to get now, but might be impossible to get later. Another example is, suppose you're offering a small-scale welding repair services for garden tools and small tractor parts and things like that. Well, you're going to need, obviously, a little welder, maybe a little stick welder, and you're going to need a generator to power the welder. And you're going to need fuel to power the generator. And so you might offer your services on a basis that if a customer comes to you and needs some welding, they have to bring the fuel. And then you charge for your services on top of that, because fuel is going to be very hard to come by. And it's also, by the way, another great reason to have a diesel generator, if you can afford such a thing, because diesel is going to last a lot longer than gasoline. Diesel will be around much longer. And remember, if you can't get a diesel generator, you could probably get a diesel-powered tractor that has a PTO, and then you plug in a PTO generator to the PTO. And those generators are available right now. And I've recommended the company called Winco, W-I-N-C-O. And they have generators that are 15 kilowatts and I think 50 kilowatts. And they're just powered by the tractor. They just plug into the PTO, which means power takeoff. So that's a great way to have power that you could use for welding. You just fire up the tractor, kick in the PTO, get your RPMs up, and then you can fire up your welder at that point and do your welding. And it might not take much diesel at all to get that welding job done if you're good at your welding, you know, stick welding or whatever it is. But the bottom line is, if this collapse unfolds as we fear it will, the vast majority of people are going to be in a world of hurt trying to figure out what to do in this new society, especially those people who thought that their whole career was going to be trading Bitcoin or buying Tesla stock or whatever. And they're going to come to find out that they don't have any skills that actually have value in a real society. Because, you know, buying Tesla stock is not a skill set. It's just a bubble, just a delusion. As, of course, by that time, everybody will have figured out. So then the question becomes, well, hey, can you, you know, can you shovel? Can you rake? Can you do anything? For a lot of people, that answer is going to be no. And then some of them will quickly learn some skills and they'll be successful and they'll survive. Other people will only get good at dying. And they won't last very long. Nothing like a collapse to kind of weed out the difference between survivors and non-survivors. But that's frankly what we're going to be facing. So plan ahead now. Get your skill sets up. Get your gear ready. And plan to contribute to the future society, because that's how you're going to stay alive. You're going to need a skill. You're going to need something that other people value, and that's how you're going to get food. Unless maybe you're growing food and that's the thing you're offering, but everybody has to contribute something to society in order to get paid so that you don't starve to death. So think about what those skills are right now and get the tools that you need to make that a reality, and you'll have a major leg up, major advantage on all of this.